5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tom Iannelli here with you once again for another amazing podcast, along with my friend Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, how are things?
I am great. Happy Sunday to you, my friend.
How is your health? How is your kidney stones? How is your babies? How is your life?
Kidney stone is still there. We're still trying to get that passed. So not yet. Kids are good. They're sleeping through the night. So knock on wood. And how are you doing, my friend?
You actually have much less baggage under your eyes. You look like a very... we got a couple of emails over the last couple of weeks saying we should change the title to Dr. Iannelli and the Night of the Living Dead. They were gonna, change your nickname.
Nice. Okay. I remember that now. That one.
So today we're gonna continue with our computer science for the Survivor module, and unfortunately, this week's guest, Dr. Denise Serrano Iannelli. Do you see the similarity in the last name? My dear wife had some dental surgery, so she's going to come on next week and talk to you guys about searching the computer for some ideas and some information about your practitioners and things like that. She is a stellar computer person, and she's going to be able to assist us and, more importantly, assist the survivors. Last week, we had a great podcast with our dear friend Rod, Small Biz Up, talking to us about some of the things his small business does to help survivors. In addition, he came up with something with me that was sort of just, Angel, by the seat of our pants, just kind of making it up as we went along. But I wanted to spend a few minutes to embellish the second part of the podcast, and that was about how to make your survivorship your legacy, how you can use a computer to do that. And I think we even titled last week's podcast, Scrapbooking Your Survivorship. So if you think about it, in the old days, we would all write journals and write in our diaries, and we would just kind of put things in these spiral binders, and then they would just collect dust and do nothing. But with the advent of the computer, we can do now everything electronically. And our pledge to help you all out there create your electronic legacy, again, computer science for the survivor, remains, something that Angel, myself, and the board of directors are very devoted and committed to help you guys. So let's talk about that for a few minutes before we get into today's podcast. So you've just been diagnosed with cancer, and it's a tremendously life-changing event. You're afraid. But at the same time, you're also affirmed. Your life now takes on a whole new, facet. Your life changes, and it never goes back to what it was. It actually becomes better. And a lot of times, survivors would like to sort of memorialize that journey. And some of them are, all of our survivors have some sort of talent, an artistic talent. Sometimes it's writing. You could journal, you could blog. Sometimes it's writing poems. Sometimes it's taking photographs. They could be self photographs of yourself going through treatment. You might want to leave your own website legacy. Now, I don't mean to be morbid, because I'm thinking of this more as a positive thing, but there was a great movie with Michael Keaton a million years ago. I think it was called My Life or something. And he was a stomach cancer victim, and he had a young baby, and he was terminal, and he wanted to leave an instruction manual on how to be a man to his newborn son. And, that's a legacy. So there's so many different things that's out there for you guys. So we didn't really emphasize it as much last week as I wanted to, because I really feel it's important. But Angel and I, along with Rod and all of our resources, want to help you guys do that. Not a lot of people really know how to do that, how to use Dropbox, how to make a website. You guys know how to do the writing. You know how to do the poetry. You know how to take the photos. You know what it is that you want to be your survivorship legacy, but then let us do all the other stuff and we can help you do that. Today's podcast, again, is in the vein of computer science, and I'm going to entitle today's podcast episode, The Risks of Consulting Dr. Google. So the internet, the wide world web on the line, as I say, is just such a tremendous value and asset to us. Instantaneous access to information. You want to find out the greatest pupuseria in Middletown, New York? I can tell you. You want to find out where the Benjamin Moore office or store is closest to you to get your honeysuckle rose color for your kitchen? I can tell you that as well. If you hear a word that Angel and I make up and you want to see if it really exists, which it doesn't, you can go to Merriam-Webster. If you want to see what great movies are out there, or if you're like me and you hate not knowing what the movie is about until, like, you know, you don't want to be freaked out and scared with all these slasher movies, then there's Wikipedia and you can read about your movie. Our friend Michael Benzea, I'm having dinner with next week. He said he sent me a text while he was confirming dinner. And he said, guess who I just met? I just met Lin-Manuel. And I'm saying, whoa, that's freaking great. Amazing. Great. And there was a picture of him and Lin-Manuel. And then as soon as I like got off the text, I said, who the hell is Lin-Manuel? So apparently he's like a really, you know, he's whatever, you know, he's all that in a bag of chips in the world of entertainment, right? Hamilton and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I don't know who Lin-Manuel is, but, you know, I do now because I Googled him. You know, if you just want to know about a song or know about a baseball player, I wanted to know how many World Series Davey Johnson was, the old Mets manager, and he was in three, and he won three World Series. So I wouldn't have known that if I didn't have Google. Now let's talk about the pitfalls of Google if you have a medical condition. So maybe about 2 months ago, I noticed some issues with my eye, and you know, I knew it was something that I needed to deal with. And of course, I don't know anything about the eye unless it's a retinoblastoma or something related to cancer. And of course, I went to Google, and it told me everything I didn't want to know about my eye, and none of it was true. So I freaked out until I got to the doctor's office, and he kind of peeled me off the wall. So we're going to talk a little bit about Google and how our cancer survivors can, should, and shouldn't use that as a resource. So Angel, you have two little babies. You see a rash. One of them gets a fever. One of them, you know, can't go to the bathroom or goes to the bathroom too much. What do you do?
First of all, you just described everything that I went through in my first 6 months of being a dad.
Yep, so, I know. And that's exactly why I said it.
I'm going to give you two versions, if I may. Yes, when you're a first-time dad, you freak out because you don't know what's going on and you just call the doctor. And if it's wee hours of the night, the first thing you think about is what kind of medicine can I put? Well, if depending on the age, the box will tell you that you have to seek a doctor's permission before you can administer it. So really, in that stage, you freak out. Now, being experienced, having two children, you assess. You take your time. You make sure everything's okay. And based on your history, you know what to give your child. That's the best
way. Right, but as it relates to the internet.
Well, I have Googled.
That's what I'm asking. That's the question.
I was going to go there, but I was like, I wanted you to give my experience on how I overcame
that. And we all appreciate that, but now answer the question.
So I was going to get to it. I really was.
Okay.
The problem is that you go on the Google and you type in rash, and they show the worst rashes ever. And you pause. You don't know what to do. So, you just keep clicking away and clicking away, and you try to find the positive in what you're looking for, but there isn't. It's all the negative stuff. So you freak out.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to talk about. And again, this is going to be an amazingly short and sweet podcast, being that I'm the pinch hitter tonight, but we are going to talk about a couple of things. So we're going to talk about anxiety. We're going to talk about broad answers, and we're going to talk about misinformation. So let's start with anxiety. So as I told you in my personal experience with my own Dr. Google, Angel, what he said about his Dr. Googling, there is much anxiety provocation when you're going to look things up. And it's sort of like rubbernecking at a really bad traffic accident. It's like everybody, you're backed up for 5 miles, and then you finally get to the bloody scene, and you say to yourself for 1 hour that you're in traffic, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to look. And as soon as you pass, your head goes to the left, and you absolutely can't help that. And you look and see, you know, all these dead people, you know, lying on the road. So, you know, and you don't want to do that, but you have no choice. And I think a lot of times, illness causes that same, I gotta know, even though I don't want to know. And the only thing we have available, you know, because, you know, doctors are not like they were in the old days and go to people's houses. They, you know, and getting a doctor on the phone, it's like you go to the ED, and you know that experience is not a great experience. So, you know, the computer is sort of taken over as that mechanism to try to avoid looking, but you look anyway. And you're looking, I have this prostate cancer. So you look up prostate cancer, or not even before you're even diagnosed, my PSA is high. What is it? Well, 99% of the time, high PSAs are related to inflammation in the prostate, not even prostate cancer. But when you go to Google, you're going to think you definitely have prostate cancer. And if you look, keep looking and keep looking at that accident, you know, it gets worse and worse and worse until, you know, the next day you get up and you're going to go buy your cemetery plot. So, you know, that's very anxiety provoking. And I think that that's an issue that we're going to, you know, and again, what Angel and I do is we don't just identify problems. We also try to come up with solutions. And we're going to talk about that. Broad answers. That's another problem. So if you're tired and drawn and worn out, most likely you had a tough week at work. You might be stressed out. You might have just broken up with your boyfriend. You might have went to Weight Watchers and you thought you had a perfect week and you gained 2 pounds. You know, whatever it happens to be that stresses you out, you know, you're tired. Then you go to Google and say, hey, Google, I'm tired. Oh, you have leukemia. You know, you have lymphoma. You have a brain tumor. You have a headache. You definitely have a glioblastoma multiforme. There's no question about it. You have problems with your eye. That eye is gone. You're losing that eye because you have a fungating metastatic mass in that eye. So, you know, these broad symptoms that we have, and that's also one of the problems that we'll probably have a podcast about this in the future, is how to identify and differentiate all of these vague symptoms. Fatigue, lassitude, you know, all those things, chills. You feel like you have a fever, but you don't. You know, my bowels are mushy. I'm peeing too much. You know, I must have diabetes, you know, because when I read on Google, I pee a lot. So that means that my blood sugar is too high. So all of these broad answers that you get in these search engines, and I'm not a search engine expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I know that behind the scenes, the algorithms, you know, behind the internet, and again, thank God for the internet. I know where to get, you know, the best, you know, carnitas in the world. I know, you know, what movie is playing down the street, and I know which fishing store has the surf casting rod that I'm looking for, but it's really not an algorithm that you want, you know, to diagnose yourself, especially as it relates to your cancer journey. And then the last thing I wanted to tell you is down broad, straight up misinformation, lying, cheating, stealing, spitting, scratching, gouging, all the things you're not allowed to do in real life, but only can do in professional wrestling. So, you know, you can't, there you go, Hulkster. So let's talk about, you know, Dr. Professor Donald Trump, our esteemed ex-president, how he wanted to doctor the United States and the world if they got coronavirus, he wanted them to drink bleach. So a couple of people drank the bleach because the president told them to, and they died. So, you know, there's, and I just use that as a funny example, but the truth of the matter is there is so much misinformation out there. And that puts you at risk because we're very trusting by nature. That's why all these people that are out there scamming for a living and trying to, you know, take advantage and get your identity and all those types of things, it happens. There's a market because we're a very trusting society. And if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right, Angel?
It is. And I want to point out one thing, and I don't want to derail what you're saying, but
no, I want you to interject.
But what I want to say is this. We are talking about, obviously, when you Google things, and there's a lot of negative things. I have personally gone on Google about a symptom, and it told me I was okay. And then it wasn't okay. So it's the reverse effect. There are times when you can look up something and actually tells you what you want to hear, when in reality, it's not. So you're sitting back thinking, oh, I'm good. And then you actually do have the opposite. So it can work both ways is what I'm trying to get at.
I love what you just said, and it's absolutely true. Getting back to the analogy of us and the accident and the road and our rubbernecking tendencies, our minds go one of two ways. We love to go into denial. So if you're having this terrible back pain, and you're peeing blood, and you're in excruciating pain, and you look at Google, you don't want to know you have a kidney stone. And it might say, you know, you just ate the wrong, you know, you ate raw eggs, so you have salmonella, and that's why you have this, and it'll go away in 2 hours. That's our denial. Believe me, I see patients all the time with fungating masses and tumors and third heads growing out of their ears and things like that because they didn't think it was anything. And that's okay. That's another pitfall is, as you said so beautifully, reading into something in a positive way when it's not. More often though, you're looking at things and you're thinking you're going to die. One of the funny things in medical school, I remember the first day of medical school, the dean got up and he was a pretty well-known guy. And he said two things that made me laugh. He said, what we teach you, 90% of what we teach you is not going to be relevant in 2 years. The problem is we don't know what part of the 90% is not true. The second thing he told us was that you as medical students will learn about every disease that man has ever known, and you will believe that you have had every one of those diseases. And I think that that's probably true also with Google. You know, you're going to read like you're a medical student without, you know, the sense that God gave to an earthworm, because you're too green to really know the difference. And that's a problem. And I think that's exactly, you know, one of the pitfalls with Google. So we have the anxiety provocation. You have the broad answers due to the nature of the search engine algorithms. And then you have all of this misinformation, which is probably the most important, because a little anxiety until you talk to your doctor is horrible. Broad answers freak you out, get it. But drinking bleach, you know, and dying because you're doing something that the internet said was cool, definitely criminal. So, you know, that's the downside of the Dr. Google. As far as what are some of the solutions, Angel, before I go into the solutions from my side of the glass, tell me some of the solutions you see.
Well, it depends, really. I mean, can you be more specific? I mean, I can go anywhere. I don't want to zig and zag. Be more specific for me.
You got it. So one of the things I was going to say is, I think that what we are going to recommend first and foremost is an attitudinal shift. May not be a word. We make them up, but it's a word to us. So attitudinal shift. What does that mean in plain English? So an attitudinal shift is, you have to literally change your thinking about the computer. So this computer no longer becomes the all-knowing, all-powerful, you know, big brother, HAL computer from 2001 Space Odyssey that knows all. It's not. You know, a computer is only as good as the person putting the information into the computer. So that attitudinal shift has to be first and foremost. Number two is expectations, what you expect from the computer. So if you're in distress, or you're just happen to be shaving and you feel a lump in your neck, and you just are freaked out, and it's a Sunday and you're not going to get to your doctor until Monday or Tuesday. When you do go to Google, because we're not going to be able to keep from looking, I want you to go there with a sense of skepticism. I want you to go there with a sense of restraint and a sense of kind of knowing that you're not necessarily getting the right answer, but just getting some information to better inform yourself of the possibilities and not the probabilities of something that's going on. And then the third thing of the four is developing a really good relationship with your doctor. You know, so many, and I think we hit this podcast after podcast after podcast, we're trying to get you guys to not just be a patient, but have a relationship with your doctor, a very deep, trusting, and cordial, and maybe friendly to a degree, relationship where you feel someone cares about you, where they can then walk you through the symptoms. Because even if there's something that's alarming, you know, a patient of mine with a brain tumor telling me they ever having headaches, nausea, I'm thinking in my head, well, you know, you probably have some brain swelling from your tumor. We need to, you know, reduce that swelling. We have to get a stat MRI or whatever. And instead of reading it on Google and saying, you probably have tumor regrowth and you have brain swelling, and if you don't get to your doctor, you're going to die. It's more like, okay, and sometimes tumors can cause some swelling. Not a problem. The problem with the swelling in the brain is that if I punch in the arm, your arm will swell and there's nothing to keep it. You know, keep confining it. But if you get an injury to the brain and it starts to swell, you have your cranium that sort of is keeping it from really being able to sort of expand. And that sort of is causing those symptoms because your brain has nowhere to go and it causes the headaches and then the nausea. So here's what we're going to do. Don't be alarmed. I'm going to start you on a medication immediately. It's going to reduce the swelling and we're going to check a scan just to make sure everything's okay. That sounds a lot better than you're probably going to die in about 3 seconds, right? So, you know, having a doctor who's sensitive to your needs and to your fears, you know, who is a seasoned oncologist who realizes that even though, you know, they've dealt with this issue 3 million times, it's your first time and they're not going to talk down to you or they're not going to be unavailable. They're going to be nice to you and they're going to help you and they're going to speak to you again, podcast after podcast, in very nice, sensitive words, and you're in a nice, you know, professional manner, and you're going to really, you know, take care of business, but at the same time, you're going to alleviate the anxiety, which a computer can't do, right? You can't do it. No. And then, you know, the future where we're going, and, you know, if I were to be able to do this, you know, in one podcast, then we would do the podcast and then we would say, that's it for the Croc podcast. We end right now is to try to teach each patient to not only be their own advocate. So that's number one that we're trying to teach our patients and our survivors. Number two is we want to develop that advocacy to be very informed advocacy, where they're almost acting as their own primary care doctor. You know, again, my wife and I, with our sick dog, we've been through many veterinarians in the local region who did nothing for us. And, you know, we did our reading and our due diligence or whatever. We became more knowledgeable about certain things about, you know, our particular brand of dog than even the veterinarians. And then lastly, we want to develop you into your own oncologist. And let me explain that. I don't want you to treat yourself with chemotherapy or immunotherapy. I just mean, I want you to really know what's going on. So if you have rectal cancer, I want you to know about the difference between Xeloda and infusional 5-FU. I want you to know why you're getting a port, or should you have a port, or if you have a head and neck cancer, should you have a gastrostomy tube, a feeding tube? I want you guys to know all this, because when you go into a doctor's office, they forget a lot of things. Believe me when I tell you, you go in there and, you know, say the doctor is in there for 3 minutes and they're about to leave and you're going to say, doctor, weren't you going to talk to me about a feeding tube? Oh yeah, I forgot. Yes, yes, yes. And then they try to leave again. Oh, doctor, didn't you want to set me up with the nutrition? Oh, yes, 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 yes. I forgot. I have to set you up with the nutritionist. Oh, doctor, you know, I'm going to have trouble swallowing, you said, right? Shouldn't I like be checked for aspiration, do some speech and swallow? Yes, 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 yes. We have to do that. Yes, we do. I don't want you to become your own doctor, but I want you to become your own doctor. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. You have to know. Awesome. You have to, it's again what I said in the beginning, you have to assess. And with that, you have to have patience too. A lot of patience.
Awesome. Anything else you want to expand on?
I think we hit it on the nail. I think that, you know, for someone like myself, like I told you in the very beginning, even though I rambled, you know.
Angel, I never want you to be self-conscious about rambling. It's what makes you such a great coach. I want to just tell you, I depend on your rambling.
No, and you know what it is that you this is what I love about our show. You can say something in one sentence that will take me back to a memory and take me back to that moment. So this episode actually helps me, and I'm sure it's going to help a lot of people because it puts us in a better understanding and a perspective to say, look, we're not perfect. Any one of us can misdiagnose ourselves, but going on the computer and not taking it fully, you know, serious, but taking it at face value can really put our anxieties at ease because it's very simple to put yourself in a position where you are completely wrong or undeniably right, even though you're still wrong. The bottom line is know your doctor, know how you feel because no one knows you better than me. Better than you. For example, when I had the kidney stone and you're like, listen, are we recording? I'm like, I think I'll be fine. And you were like, you know what? I don't think you're fine yet. Let's give it an extra day. What happened? I had more pain and I needed more rest. So there's a great example of a friend knowing a friend, mm-hmm. A person not knowing their body because I didn't want to give in to the fact that I was tired. So that's a great example. And you can Google all you want. We're not saying nothing negative about Google. There's a lot of great things about Google, but you have to be careful as to how you're assessing yourself before you allow the professional to diagnose you the correct way. But always remember it's give and take. That's the best way I can put it.
Can I just tell you something? You hit it beautifully. I couldn't have said it any better. Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin. How is your podcast going, my friend?
Oh, I got a great, great segue for that. For everybody here on the Croc Podcast, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Tommy Nelly, who's going to be featured on Fridays, starting this Friday. That's right, because we're starting the new week. So this Friday, you can catch Dr. Nelly live on our podcast. That'll be April 15th. He'll be coming on. Cannot wait to welcome you, my friend.
I can't wait. Am I getting paid?
You know what? You have no idea. I got a surprise for you, my friend. Don't worry. I'm already ahead of you.
I can't wait. Actually, we're going to record that podcast right after we end today's podcast. Angel, thank you for everything you do for us. You are a wonderful co-host. You're a great person. You are our spiritual warrior. I know you pray for all of our survivors, and we appreciate that. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. You heard Rod last week. Rod is as good a man as Angel. Just such a sweet person, such a great person. Really cares about you guys, and he'll help you in any way regarding your legacy project, your scrapbooking of your survivorship, or anything computer-wise for your business or for your personal life. The board of directors, whom we will be meeting in 2 weeks, I believe we will be meeting on my birthday at my favorite restaurant, Oak and Reed, for some Korean broccoli and some sweet cornbread. Can't wait to see all the gang. I really appreciate their taking their time and their expertise and their gifts of wisdom to you guys, to the survivors. Of course, Michael John Benzeo, who I'll be having dinner with next week, talking about gifts and some donations to help us bring you a better product. And of course, you, the survivor. On behalf of Angel and the board of directors, we really adore you. You are special. You are important. Any pain that you have, I want to take it from you. Is there anything that we can give you, any sorts of wisdom, any sorts of pearls, any sorts of advice that you can get or glean from this podcast? That's our goal always, to make your survivorship easier, less painful, and more rewarding. We wish you, as always, a long, healthy, happy, cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.